not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal, but everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are joined this first half hour of the 3 o'clock hour by one of our great friends with the Center for American Progress Action Fund, here to talk with us about Social Security, is their senior fellow who thinks a lot about labor equity, you know, things like paid leave, which we should have a whole lot more of. We could probably spend about 2 hours talking about just paid family leave with our next guest, but we're going to focus on Social Security. Her name is Molly Weston Williamson. She also is a lawyer, Yale law graduate. We could talk about Yale right now, too, given everything. So much going on, Molly, but especially a poignant discussion about Social Security today as the Dow Jones is down 2.5 points as markets again roiling as Donald Trump doubles, triples, quadruples down on attacking the independence of the Federal Reserve and Jerome Powell, as people are looking at their 401ks with increasing trepidation, makes our conversation about preserving Social Security and what's going on in the Trump administration's draconian cuts there too all the more important. Welcome, Molly. Thank you for making time.
Thank you for having me.
So the Trump administration is objectively has put the Social Security Administration on the list of sort of Doge-style chainsaw cuts. That is not immune, despite Trump's statements, oh, I'm never going to cut Social Security. We're never doing any of those things. Donald Trump can never introduce a piece of legislation to curb a Social Security benefit, but he can damn sure break the administration of said benefits, right? Is that what's going on, Molly? Is that really the headline here?
That's exactly right. So I think the thing to know is we know that he's cutting Social Security because he's cutting the Social Security Administration. And when you cut the agency, you are cutting benefits. You're putting the Trump administration and Elon Musk and Doge between you and your Social Security benefits, between your grandma and her Social Security benefits, between you and the benefits that you've earned and that you're entitled to count on.
Yeah, I think that this is what we have to focus on. And I've been trying my best in what I talk about to not just focus on the words that they say, though it's important to listen to that too. But Donald Trump has said a few times, I'm not going to cut Social Security. He's also said that he's open to cutting entitlements, and Social Security is an entitlement. So the man lies all the time. Who knows what he actually thinks? But he's doing everything to make it incredibly hard, and if not difficult or impossible, for people to continue to interact with the government department that sends them their checks or makes their deposits. Can you tell us about what those cuts are and how they're impacting whether and how people get their earned, promised, and worked for Social Security benefits?
So what we're seeing right now is they've set a target of cutting 7,000 jobs in the Social Security Administration, and that's in an agency that's already at a 50-year staffing low. Even though there's a lot more people who are retiring and counting on Social Security than there were 50 years ago. So Social Security didn't have 7,000 jobs to spare. It didn't have 7 jobs to spare. So they're cutting staff. They're cutting regional offices. They're threatening to cut field offices. And they're cutting back on services. So we've had this hokey pokey about exactly what cuts to phone service they're making, where they change their tune day to day. But what we know is it's a lot harder to get somebody on the phone than it was a couple of months ago. People are waiting hours and hours to talk to a human being. They're finding it harder to use the phone, or they're prevented from using the phone to do even basic stuff like updating your bank account information. And when you can't get through by phone, it pushes people to go to the offices in person, except The offices are understaffed. You can't get in if you don't have an appointment. So that pushes people to the website, except the website keeps crashing. And so what all of this is adding up to is, if you can't get to a person, if you can't get to the system to update your information, to make a new claim, because there are new people who need disability benefits or are retiring every day, that's making it harder and harder day by day to get to those benefits, to make sure that those benefits that you have earned, that you're counting on, are going to show up for you. And that's happening right now, not in the future, right now.
So again, this is pay attention to what they're doing, and what they're doing is breaking the government department and the processing systems that enable people to get their benefits, to update their benefits, to apply for benefits. You break the process, you break the system that provides it, and guess what? The benefit ultimately would go away by effect anyways, right? Like, that's what is happening here. And I wanted to put together that logic tree again for people, Molly. You slash the number of employees, which means fewer people able to answer phones, fewer people to staff regional and field offices, fewer people to update the systems and operate the online systems. So you can't get through on the phones. You can't go to the same field offices because those are closed. You can't get through on the website because that's crashing because it's not getting updated. It's a frightening set of circumstances right here. And one in five Americans rely on Social Security. Can you tell us specifically about some of the cuts here in Wisconsin and what people can do if they are concerned about having to apply for new benefits or making changes? Do you have some tips, Molly, for how people can navigate the system given these cuts?
Sure. And in Wisconsin, it's actually closer to one in four people are counting on Social Security. There's about 1.4 million people counting on Social Security in Wisconsin. So that's your friends, that's your neighbors, that's somebody down the street. Everybody loves somebody who counts on Social Security. And so I think right now what we're seeing is, be ready for wait times, be ready to have to try multiple methods to get to what you need. Be prepared to have to go in person or to make an appointment, to have things take longer than you were expecting them to. And I think at the same time, I think being really vigilant about what's coming next. Are there worse cuts coming? You know, we're hearing the president keeps talking about fraud in Social Security, even though we know fraud is vanishingly rare. Elon Musk keeps calling Social Security a Ponzi scheme, which is what people who don't like Social Security have said for decades and decades, and it's never, ever been true. So being ready for, are there bigger cuts coming?
Yeah.
Being ready for, is my field office that I need going to close? Is somebody going to be there to answer the phone? And being prepared to really try to protect your Social Security, which you should be able to count on just working.
Correct.
You should be able to count on it's just there and you don't have to think about it.
It's remarkable to me that at the same time, they're going to make it so much more difficult, if not impossible, for some people to obtain their benefits. Because when I talk with my family who are older, phone and in person is by far the preferred way because they have a harder time interacting with technology and navigating it, especially when there's problems. You make that super hard. At the very same time they're doing this, you look at the IRS and it's like, oh yeah, let's shut down that free, easy way for people to interact with the Internal Revenue Service to get their refunds sooner. Oh yeah, by the way, there's a whole bunch of private companies that do that. It's just, it seems very fig leaf at best. And yet we constantly hear these attacks on Social Security, these lies. Oh, they're paying people 150 years old. Why? Right? Over and over again. I wanted Molly to play for you and our listeners a clip of Ronald Reagan talking about Social Security back in the day. Elon Musk calls Social Security a Ponzi scheme. Let's see what did Ronald Reagan, the greatest Republican of all time, according to many, what did he have to say about Social Security? Let's take a listen.
Well, Social Security, let's lay it to rest once and for all. I told you never would I do such a thing. But I tell you also now, Social Security has nothing to do with the deficit. Social Security is totally funded by the payroll tax levied on employer and employee. If you reduce the outgo of Social Security, that money would not go into the general fund to reduce a deficit. It would go into the Social Security Trust Fund. So Social Security has nothing to do with balancing a budget or erasing or lowering the deficit.
Big facts from Ron Reagan. Molly, can you just generally address some of these attacks on the Social Security system and on funding concerns more broadly?
So what we know about Social Security is that it works. That the system of we all pay in a little bit out of every paycheck, and that pays for the benefits we need when we retire, the benefits we need in disability. We're all supporting and taking care of one another in the way that we were taught to do in kindergarten. Social Security has been working for almost 100 years. People have built lives and livelihoods on that promise. And a big part of why we know that works is we know this can work. There are places where it deserves more support. There are places where Social Security deserves more support to make sure that the structures are set up in the way that we're keeping pace with what people really need. But big picture, we know that Social Security works. We know that Social Security is reliable. It's a thing you can count on. It's going to keep being something you can count on in the future. And when we hear folks who keep trotting out the same old stories that we know aren't true about why it doesn't work, we should ask why. And we should ask why they're saying that and what they're looking for.
Yeah, so important. Where are the incentives? What are the motivations that can often lead you to the more important truths about things? Folks, my guest in this first segment of our 3 o'clock hour, her name is Molly Weston Williamson. She's a senior fellow focused on labor policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Molly, last question to you as we close out this segment. What should people do if they are concerned about these cuts and think they are a bad idea?
It's time to get loud. It's time to get loud about what Social Security means to American families, about the very real risk that when these cuts pile up, those checks are not going to go out, that we're going to have an unprecedented system failure. It's time to get loud with representatives. It's time to really make sure folks understand what Social Security means and that collectively we can't afford to break it because we need it.
Folks, Molly Weston Williamson of the Center for American Progress Action Fund, hands off our Social Security. No more cuts to the staff or field offices or regional offices. That's a bad idea. Our fine program continues when we come back. Is Pete Hegseth out? Breaking news. Who knew? A consequence for incompetence out of the Trump administration. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.